About getting to start a new sermon series here. If you've got your bulletins, there's a little insert in there that's going to, there's going to be a few fill in the blanks today. I realize this is something that I don't normally do, so there should be some pencils around, but I'd love it for every person to have a piece of paper in their hand. If you are lacking either paper or a pencil, stick your hand up, and we will make certain that somebody gets that to you quickly here. All right. Because for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts and what they are. Actually, I'll give you a quick... Today, we're going to be talking about the definition of spiritual gifts, what they are. Next week, we're going to be looking at some of the gifts that are listed, especially in the book of Romans, and kind of what each of them means, kind of a lot of definitions and such. Week three, we're going to be looking at some of the list in 1 Corinthians, or as the question is, what about the weird gifts? Now, those of you from charismatic backgrounds will take some offense at that. I don't mean it in that way, but there are gifts that are listed in the scriptures that when you first encounter them, you go, whoa! Remember, first time I showed up at a Pentecostal church, and I started... There were sounds coming out that I didn't quite understand. I'm thinking, this is weird. Well, the Bible talks about some of that stuff. We're going to be talking about some of that stuff. Fourth week, we're going to be talking about some of the other things in your life that shape how you might use your gifts. And then finally, in week five, ways that you can apply those gifts in ministry. Because, you know, everybody is on a journey to figure out how God has wired them up and how he would have them serve. When I was a kid, I thought that I wanted to be a marine biologist. I wasn't actually born a pastor. You might find that shocking. Actually, I hope you don't. But because we grew up on a lake, and I loved to go snorkeling and watch the fish. And I thought, I need a job where I can go snorkeling and watch fish. Marine biologist would be perfect. Well, it still sounds like an interesting career, but amazingly enough, I didn't become a marine biologist. But it was in my junior year of high school that I first started to get a sense of call into the ministry. I was actually at a youth camp, and I remember very profoundly God saying, pay attention to this. And so I went and talked to a wise pastor friend of mine saying, you know, I think God might be calling me into the ministry. What should I do? And his name was Ward Cowie. He was a Baptist pastor in town. And I remember him saying, if you can imagine yourself being satisfied doing anything else, you go do that. And at first that seemed really harsh. Like, what, so you mean I shouldn't be doing ministry? It's like, no. But if you can see yourself being satisfied doing anything else but pastoring, you should go and try that. Because if you're not called into this profession, you're gonna burn out. So all of life, it's kind of a journey figuring that out. Well, thankfully that's more than 20 years ago, and I'm still around, and that's a good thing. But all of us are on a journey to figure out how God has wired us up. All of us. If you're a Christian and you've got a pulse, you're in ministry. All of us are called to be ministers. In one form or another. The question is what? And how do you know what? And how do you know which area of ministry to be focusing on? So that's where spiritual gifts come in. Because spiritual gifts are an extension of Jesus' ministry on earth. There's only one person in history that had every single spiritual gift. That was Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. I know some of you are getting ready for the fill in the blanks. Just hang on, we're almost there. I can see your pencils twitching. You're just ready to go. Okay, so the only person in history that had every spiritual gift is Jesus. But as his followers, as the Holy Spirit is given to the church, each one of us is given a portion of that so that as we work together, we can continue on in the ministry of Christ in this world. The first time we see spiritual gifts is in Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And Paul's writing to the church in Rome, a church he has never even visited yet, and he says this.
I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul is looking forward to using his spiritual gift in the Roman church, because he knows that as he does, both he and the church will be mutually encouraged. See, ministry at its best, when you're serving in the place where God would have you serve, it's kind of fun. It is. It's kind of fun. On a gut level, it feels good because you're doing the very thing that God has put you on the planet to do. That's one of the reasons why we want you, each person, to have some awareness of what their spiritual gift is, or at least might be. Because as you discover it and as you serve out of that gift, you will be encouraged. Serving the Lord is fun. Now, it's not necessarily fun all the time, and it's not necessarily, you know, immediately gratifying, but on a gut core level, when you are serving out of your gifts, it will feel right. Now, I bring this up because one of the reasons why people hesitate to serve is because there's this idea either that that it won't be fun, or that serving is it's a drudgery, it's something you do out of duty, it's something you do because you have to or because somebody made you feel really guilty to do it. And that's not the point at all. Serving the Lord is mutually encouraging. When your gift is fully functioning, it's going to feel great. Not always immediately great. I got to bring that part up. Because one of the other things that sometimes keeps people from serving God is they go, oh, if I was to do that, that would be hard. And of course, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's out of a perceived sense of fear. You know, oh, that, like we kind of use toddler logic where you go, if I do that, or I don't want to do things, or hang on. No, I'm having toddler thoughts. I like things to go the way I want them to go. And it makes me feel good when things go the way I want them to go. And so I'm feeling like I don't want to do that, and so that won't make me happy, and God wants to make me happy, so therefore he must not want me to do that. See how that goes? We pursue what we believe is going to be a satisfying experience on our terms, project that into the future, goes, that's hard, I don't think I want to do it, therefore God must not want me to do it. That's toddler logic. I'm not saying using toddler logic, I'm saying trusting God. That when you are obedient to what God tells you to do, when you are obedient to using the gifts and talents that God has given you, on the tail end, as the net result, and looking back on the experience, you will go, that was good. That felt good. That was the right thing to do. Does that make sense? Okay. So here's a definition that might be helpful for you. A spiritual gift is an expression of faith that aims to strengthen faith. It's an expression of faith that aims to strengthen faith. Because there is a difference between a spiritual gift and a natural talent. You know, there are people that can be very good at something, but it doesn't necessarily strengthen their faith. I don't know if you've noticed this trend recently, but, you know, worship music has kind of become a hot-selling item in the marketplace. And so it's, you know, from time to time, there's somebody that's a very good singer in a different genre, and they decide to put out a worship album. And so, I'm not going to pick on any particular names, though I'm really tempted. Somebody puts out an album as a worship leader, and you just kind of go, what? Huh? Just because you're a good singer doesn't mean you're a good worship leader, because the spiritual gift of leading worship is an act of faith that is aiming to strengthen faith, not sell albums. Now, I don't know if, about you, I've been very blessed by, you know, Jasmine Skank. She was helping lead worship last week.
That girl, she can sing.
And she can lead worship. She comes up, and I asked permission to share this, by the way, just so you know, I'm not going to pick on people randomly, so if I haven't talked to you already, okay, you don't need to, you can keep your blood pressure down, we're good. So, but when she is leading worship, the people around her just go, she's got a gift. I would affirm that to be true. She's got a gift. But it's not because she's a good singer. She is a good singer. But it's because her spiritual gift is an extension of faith. That is strengthening faith. I'd like us to go through some of the other passages in Scripture. There's a passage we'll go through all of these. And I'm going to make a few comments on these. We're going to be spending the bulk of our time in the next 5 weeks on four passages. And each week we'll be looking at a different aspect of that, just to try to round out our understanding of spiritual gifts and what they are. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's leading, or if it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Next slide, please. Or in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. So Christ gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So the body of Christ, remember like Melissa talked about earlier? Each have a part in this. The body of Christ may be built up. Or in 1 Peter, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, it should be, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12, we'll spend a bunch of time on these passages 2 weeks from now. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are works of one and the same Spirit, and he determines them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the hand should say, in the quotes, let's just say this out loud together. If the hand should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. Isn't that right? Okay. You're still with me? We're reading a lot of Scripture, and it's nice and cool in here. All right. Just let me know. I'll speak and you listen, and then if we have a problem with the combination of the two, just let me know, and we'll work on that. Okay, so if the ear should say what? It would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Well, I don't know. Well, if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, and the head cannot say to the feet. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. That's why we have a Speedo. And these parts that are... That's the truth. Scripture's a little funny. And so the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. It wasn't that funny. Okay, but God... We okay? All right, but that was funny? It wasn't that funny. It was pretty close. Okay, all right. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part in it. So we all have a part to play in the body of Christ. All of us have a gift of some sort. But the big thought I want to leave you with today, one big thing, is the fundamental issue is not one of education. The fundamental issue is one of the heart. So here's a question. I want you to write this down a little bit, and I want to challenge you with this thought. Do I desire to build the faith of others, or am I prone to apathy? The real problem in the church is not, I would submit to you, not that people don't necessarily know their gift. Because, you know, the gifts in Scripture, did you notice in all those passages, the gifts that were listed, they were different in every one? It's not like God made a great big jigsaw puzzle and, boy, let's see if we can get all the parts, you know, pieces together and then make a list. These are all examples of the way that faith can strengthen faith. It's not an exhaustive list, but each one of them are examples of how people can be used in the body of Christ. And so the greater issue is not, I would submit to you, is not that whether or not you can label exactly your gift or define it or put it in a little box and write a paper about it. The fundamental heart issue is, do I care? Do I care about the people around me? Do I care about whether or not their faith is built up? The opposite of, well, the greater issue is not one of hatred, because I'm sure nobody here would go, oh gosh, I really hope to tear somebody else down. I don't think anybody here would do that or desire that. But it is true that for many of us, we go through the day without being even aware of the people around us. So the hard question I want to challenge you with today, do I desire to build the faith of others, or am I prone to apathy? So if you had the opportunity to help someone strengthen his or her faith, would you? I'll spend a little bit of time with that question. See, this is my double dog dare to you for the week. So as you walk around, even as you're here in this room and you're looking around, what are the needs of the people around you? What do they need in order that their faith would be strengthened? And if you had the opportunity to do something about it, would you? Some people right now, as they're listening to this sermon, they're listening to our podcast. So you might be sitting in a car, or you're taking a jog, And the people around you can't even hear what's being spoken about in your head right now.
That'd be you.
As you look around and you see the Yahoo driving in front of you, or the person an aisle over in the grocery store, if you had an opportunity to do something that would strengthen their faith, would you? Even here in the room, as you look around a little bit, it's okay to look around in church. Do you ever run that scenario through your head? I wonder what they're going through right now. I wonder what their fears are. I wonder what their needs are. I wonder what their hopes and dreams are. And if I had an opportunity to strengthen their faith in some way, would I? So you look around the room. If somebody's greatest need is for somebody to, for them to find a small group and go deep into God's word and get grounded in their faith, if you had the opportunity to open up your home and let somebody in, and maybe open up God's word with them, would you? If maybe there's somebody in the room and they've just had car problems this week and they feel like for many families in the valley, they're just right on the edge of being able to thrive or fail. And they're just kind of wondering, does God really care? Is anybody even out there that notices me? And if you had the opportunity to do something that would strengthen their faith, would you? There's somebody that in this room that's going, I really wish somebody would pray for me because I'm really upset about this and I just need to know that I'm not alone in my struggle. And if you had the opportunity to strengthen their faith, would you? If somebody in this room is wondering, I wonder if anybody even, if I'm accepted in this group, I wonder if people even care whether or not I'm here. Nobody's invited me to their home. And you had the opportunity to show a degree of hospitality and say, hey, let's meet for coffee, or hey, we're doing a barbecue at our house. Do you want to come by? Would you? Because the way that you would answer that prayer, or the request that you would feel most likely drawn to, guess what? That's your spiritual gift. It's an act of faith that strengthens faith. And the hard question, the double dog dare, if you had an opportunity to strengthen somebody's faith, would you? Because just imagine with me for a minute, what would it be like if we had a church where everybody used their gifts, where everybody had some sort of life orientation to be that, and they're asking the question, what can I do to strengthen the faith of the people around me? What gifts has God given me to strengthen the faith of the people around me? And what would happen if everybody did that? It'd all be in different ways, wouldn't it? Because you don't want me to cook anything. It's bad. But I'm married to somebody who's really good at it. And now that will strengthen your faith. You probably don't want me fixing your car. But that's okay, because we have people that have that gift. And what if all of us did something. If you have the opportunity to strengthen somebody's faith in some way, will you? Would you? I challenge you, Columbia Grove, this week, as we meet as a church and you kind of look at each other, you can give each other the look, you know, the, I wonder what she's thinking right now, look. I wonder what he needs right now, look. Where you're asking yourself the question, is there something that I can do, that I can give, that would strengthen their faith? And I challenge you, I double dog dare you to do that even this week, even when you're outside of this building. As you're driving down the street, as you're going to the grocery store, as you're going to work. If I had the opportunity to strengthen somebody else's faith, would I? Would I? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have created the church to be a body. You've given each of us a role to play. Some in music, and we can hear them getting ready. In children's ministry, in giving, in serving, in teaching, in hospitality, in leading, in speaking. And Lord, we look forward to the day and the of what would be possible if each of us played our part in your body. As each of us have some sense of how you have wired us up. And even more importantly, we each share that heart desire to strengthen the faith of the people around us. God, I believe that you have ordained the local church to be the primary way that the kingdom of God advances in this world. Not the only, but the primary way that the kingdom of God advances in this world. And as we dream about what it would be like to have a church where every person was doing their role, every person was living out their faith and strengthening the faith of others, we think of a church that would be an unstoppable force of good in this world. An irresistible, unstoppable force of good in this world. And so, God, we invite you by the Holy Spirit, let that happen here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.